Welcome, everybody, to the Out of Chicago podcast. My name is Michael Novo, and today I have a very special guest with me. His name is not James Marr. It's James Mayer, because you're reading and you're thinking that, oh, it's Marr, but it's not. And I'll tell you that it's not because we started recording the show and I pronounced it incorrectly. So now we're re-recording it, and now we're going to fix it. This episode is going to completely rock. Yeah. He's a little bit of everything photographer, but one of his passions right now is street photography, and certainly some of the folks, some of the great street photographers who came before us, and that's one of the things that he's educating us on. So I'd like to welcome to the show Mr. James Mayer.
Thank you for having me. And sometimes when I want to feel Irish, I just say it's Maher. I need to embrace.
Then you're
my
saying
roots.
The H too much, Maher. Like,
Maher, yeah.
I would just say Mayer.
Yeah.
Mayer. We'll stick with Marr. Marr. Or yeah. Mayer, like I could do either one, but not Maher.
Maher, yeah.
No, it's making the show too complicated. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about is just last names in this episode, how to pronounce all the street photographers' last names, because I was actually talking to, she's going to kill me, my sister-in-law, who's in art school. And so she tells me that she's studying Bresson.
Oh, yes.
The famous street photographer Bresson. And I attempted to say, like, I believe that it's Bresson. Like, and so she told me that, no, I'm in the class and I know how to pronounce his name. So I assume that happens from time to time.
Yeah, I am. Well, first of all, I'm the worst pronouncer ever. So it's, don't get me trying to say any names in French. But yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see. You know his
Bresson?
Name.
Henri Cartier. Bresson,
yeah.
So I don't even know. Like, it's
Bresson is very like American style.
Yeah,
good old Henry Bresson. Welcome to the show, and I think that street photography is one of those things that I thought I knew until I went out with street photographers that know what they're doing, and then I realized that I very quickly didn't know nearly as much as I thought I did. So. What is it about street photography? I'm personally a wedding portrait guy. You know, my clients call me. We organize these sessions. What is sort of the draw to the street?
Well, it's a very interesting thing. It's, you know, when you first think about street photography or candid photography, it's, you know, you think about like Gary Winogrand, like just shots of people walking down the street. Over and over. That's like the first thing that comes into people's mind. And you know, the thing that I think attracts people and attracts a certain mindset of person. It's just, you know, like some people are attracted to landscape and, it's for people watchers. It's for people who like to connect with other people and to kind of explore. And part of the reason the talk, that I, you know, I just gave an hour ago, exploration through the works of famous street photographers was to kind of explain what you can do with it, because it's not just people on the street. It's, you know, if you look at what famous street photographers have done throughout the years, there, you know, Martin Parr is one of them. He has photographed, you know, he photographs indoors, parties, events. He photographs on the street. He goes to the beach. He does the suburbs. And he does it with this kind of candid mentality to kind of show modern life. And, you know, he has these ideas of themes and he tells stories. And it's a lot beyond just the singular images. Like, you know, a lot of these photographers have amazing singular images. But when you look at it all together, they're really trying to say something about what they see. And so that's, you know, it's when you talk about candid photography, it can sound really simple, but when you start getting really good and editing your work and figuring out what you're shooting, you can really start to show these views of life.
Right.
Yeah.
And it can be both candid, because there's many street photographers here, and I see some who are right in your face with the camera where clearly the subject is aware what they're doing it. And sometimes you can see that they're a little bit further back and the subject might not be aware that the photographer is there. Is there a ground that I should aim for? If I want to get out on the street, should I just try both and see what works for me?
Yeah, I always show people the way I like to shoot, and then I say there's a million different ways to do it. So, you know, while the technical term of street photography is like, it should be as candid as possible, portraits in certain situations are a big part of it as well. And so, you know, I would say it's good to get close when you can, because when the photographs are closer, it's a little bit more intimate. You know, you can really see all the details. You can get their facial expressions, which kind of portray emotion and things. But you don't have to be like Bruce Gilden, where you're like running at people's faces with a flash and like getting it. You know, he's lucky he's like 6'2" because people try to fight him and then
he's not going to get smacked as much.
He does the, he makes people think he's crazier than them. So then they back off. You know, I prefer to I like to get close, but I do more of letting people come to me. So I'll walk around, but I'll pick a lot of locations where I think interesting things are happening. And I'll just hope that something amazing is going to happen, something really interesting. And I'll let the subjects, you know, that you're going to see the same moments, whether you're standing in a spot versus walking very fast. And if they're kind of coming towards you, not only does that make it easier to get close because you already have the camera up, you're already there, makes it a little bit more candid. But you're a little bit faster in awareness of what's going on. You know, it's just you're spending your energy looking around instead of walking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that might also, you know, if people are walking, they are almost sometimes more in tune with what it is that they're doing. They might be on the phone or watching something or reading something, versus if they're sitting there and looking around and they see you walk by with a camera pointed at them, that might be a little bit of a different easier way almost to approach people if you sit there, because they're almost walking into your space versus you being the hostile one. It's like, yeah, I was just sitting on the park bench and you came along with your camera.
That's exactly it. Yeah, it's they're entering your personal space. Yeah, so
you like the more candid feel. Is that like then a different art form when you are walking up to people and taking like their street as just street portraiture then at that point?
And they're all related. So it's not, I mean, street portraiture is fantastic and you can include it. You know, if you look at some of the greatest, you know, street photography books of all time, there are portraits in them and they're part of the story. It's whatever tells a story. But, you know, there's some of the shot, it's like sometimes you'll go up to someone, take a portrait, and then they just stare at you and you don't get much out of it, especially on the street when you have 5 seconds. You know, you ask someone, you say, can I take your portrait? They smile.
They put there's a guard. Like at receptions when I'll see somebody talking off on the side and then you walk over with your camera and all of a sudden their face lights up and they put on a charming smile for you.
Exactly. And you're like, no.
Right. It's not what I want. Go back to that thing that you were talking about. It was very dramatic and emotional and thank you for ruining that moment for me, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so sometimes when you do that, it's like, you know, you'll take the image and then you'll try to catch them off guard where they don't know you're about to take their photo and you'll try to capture them, you know, so it feels a little bit more natural and you get their sense of their personality. It doesn't work out that often.
Yeah.
But for what you do, you know, if you look at some of the, and I do it as well, just, you know, to pay the bills, I shoot a lot of events and things like that.
Like how everybody, when they say they shoot events, you never meet like an event photographer who's like, I'm passionate about shooting cocktail receptions for major corporations. They always preface it with like, got to pay the bills.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I shoot the events. So yeah.
Occasionally it puts you into fun situations, but sometimes as a little bit on the more introverted side, it can take a lot of energy out of me shooting events. So it's not something that I do, that I would do if I wasn't being paid
for it. That you would seek out with a passion.
Exactly. I have to take a nap after events sometimes, just a 10-minute one to clear my head.
I don't know. Random executive sometimes speaking at podiums for 30 minutes at a time is kind of does it for me every once in a while.
Yeah,
with my 70 to 200 lens, just waiting for the right moment when they pause.
Yeah, you're like, can you just use your hands for a second?
There you go. It's going to be that. We need that Steve Jobs shot, definitely, that inspirational one that they asked me for before.
But if you look at Gary Winogrand or anyone like that, like they were actually having fun when they shot their events, like in their own personal work. So they would do I'm assuming they would, you know, if they, like for the clients, they would, you know, take the nice, pretty shots that they wanted. Mm-hmm. But then some of their best images were just these candid shots in those moments that were just completely out of context. And so they were hired to do, you know, this pretty stuff. But then they also did a little of their personal work on the side.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to think about it, that you can do it anywhere. It's not just on the street.
Yeah. I like to, like, sometimes I get these moments for me when I get this oddity, I call it, it's like moment interrupted. It's like this thing of moments that should have been happening. And then there's this interruption where you get this like beautiful distortion of some oddity that happens at an everyday kind of thing. And I don't know how to describe it. It's just one of them. This is not a visual podcast, but I have these odd little quirky photos where something happens that's not in the norm, but you know, that's the photo that everybody looks at later. They're like, oh my God, I love that moment, like, that you got in between there. So
exactly. Yeah, exactly. And sometimes you take a photo where you're like, this is amazing, but they're going to hate it.
Right.
So you don't show it to them or send it to them, but you keep it.
And you know which ones those are. It's like you have like a family and the child has this almost sad, solemn look on their face, but it's like just right, mm-hmm. because children are just always running around with smiles. And then you show it to the parents, they're like, they're not smiling in that one.
They look.
That will happen, my friend.
Or a shot of the evil mother-in-law looking evil.
Oh, yeah. You get those, too.
I think Gary Winogrand would actually go after the, like, you know.
Those. You never know. You never know. Like, the son or daughter-in-law might appreciate that.
Yeah, that's true.
So if I want to go out there and I want to do street photography, what sort of gear am I going to take into consideration?
It's the lighter the camera, the easier it is. I did it for 10 years with an SLR. I use a Fuji X100 now for that type of work. With the zoom and the heaviness of the camera, you know, it's tougher. Some photographers do it really well. You know, Jay Mizell has had a long zoom for a long time and you know, shoots a little bit further away. But it's, people notice it. And with the internet and all that stuff, it's, people can see an SLR walking down the street. So I would say if you have an SLR, get a light prime lens. That's a lot smaller. You know, 35 is my favorite focal length. The Pancake 40 millimeter lenses are amazing. It lightens up the camera. Prime lenses are really good because the consistent focal length makes you faster, a little bit more intuitive. You have to kind of let yourself go with the fact that you don't have a zoom, you're going to miss some shots because of that, and just kind of focus on what's in your range. But I love mirrorless cameras. I love Fuji. That's the X100 line is like my favorite thing in the world. It's built like a tank.
I think that's where the consensus, I don't know that it's consensus amongst people, but the conception, I guess, or perception would be that if it's not an SLR, you're not a professional photographer, and you're just some like twiddle-a-dink like hobbyist who's just tinkering around, and they may not put their guard up as much as if you have an SLR, then the questions are going to be, why are you taking my photo? Where is this going to be used? Who are you? I want you to delete that photo. Like, you know, I can see that line of questioning almost because you're using an SLR. They don't know that an X100 can take like an astonishing photo.
Completely. Yeah. People say to me all the time, they're like, hey, vintage film camera.
Right.
I'm like, no, I'm sorry. No, it's digital.
One day you'll get a proper camera when you're a real photographer.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're like,
it totally helps. They think it's just, you know, hobby. You know, they think it's like you're just walking around.
Right.
And then it's also it's a psychological barrier for people who are learning to pick up that heavy big camera and shoot it at someone. If you have and you're gonna try it, it really helps to pick a location with the big camera because you can already be set up and look like you're photographing the background and they happen to walk in the scene. With the smaller camera, it's easier to bring up and it's psychologically less of it psychologically gets in your way less. So it's a great way to learn, you know, even to rent a camera for a day and see how you like it.
Yeah. And what am I doing? So let's say I've got my camera now and I want to do the street photography. Now, should I go out there and do a combination of candids and walking up to people just to see what I like or
definitely, kind of? Definitely. And do portraits at first to get comfortable. People like love it. If you flatter them, you say, you look amazing. Can I take your picture? It makes people's day, and you realize that, like, you know, not everyone's gonna, like, you know, we're photographing people because we like them,
right?
And so it's not actually, it doesn't have to be this horrible thing. Some people are not gonna like it, of course,
right?
But if you do it the right way, and if someone says, "Hey, did you take my picture?" you can be honest about it. You can say, "Oh yeah, I'm a photographer. I'm doing a project on people in New York, and I thought you looked amazing." And if they really hate it, you say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable. I'll delete it. It's okay.
Right. No, so would you, like, if somebody approached you and said, I don't like the photo, can you delete it? Would you actually delete it?
I would. I mean, I've done that twice.
What if it's an amazing photo?
And I haven't been in that conundrum. So you beat me to that. Like, if it's the best photo of my life, I might run away.
just sprinting down the street.
Definitely.
Pull your memory card out, throw the camera over your shoulder.
Exactly. Yeah, just, if it's the best photo of my life, if it's a good photo, I'll delete it even because good photos, you know, come a lot, but the great ones are really elusive. So I may try to talk my case to them and then run. But I hope to not ever be in that position. I've only had, in 15 years of doing this, I've only had two people ask to delete the photo.
Okay.
And they did it nicely after we talked, and I deleted it.
Because here, at least in the U.S., you're sort of free to take, you know, if it's in public space, the law, at least currently, and in the U.S., will side with you
for artistic purposes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you can't sell them necessarily, like, or you can't be like, well, this will be the new Adidas poster because exactly. You're wearing sweatpants. But yeah, like, if you want to put in your portfolio or even sell in a gallery as fine art, like, you're welcome to do that. But whether you should is a completely different story.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm for that, those laws, I think, because it has cultural value. If you look at the previous photographs from the 30s, 50s, you know, 70s, those shots of people are the ones that, like, age really well and show what life was like. And I think it's, you know, it's a really important thing to have that, have it be, you allowed to be able to make prints and share them in books and things for cultural value. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there is the fact that some people won't be happy with it, and you have to come to terms with that. You're making some people uncomfortable, but
right.
It's important. It's important to do.
There was a workshop that I took. It was a location people workshop, and the photographer is Brian Allen out of Tennessee. Now, he got this idea from another workshop that he was in, and I'm just not remembering it at the moment. But so when I was in his workshop, I said, you know, so tell me a little bit about, like, what you do. And he's like, well, what opened my eyes was this other workshop. And he said, here's the premise of what you do. You go out onto the street. And you set a number for yourself. How many portraits am I going to take? 5, 10, whatever it is. And here's the thing. You have to approach these people. They have to acknowledge, you have to acknowledge them. You have to pose them, get their portrait with their permission. You can show them the photo if you want them. You have to thank them. And you have to be on your merry little way. And you just have to do that with complete strangers. I was like, all right, well, that seems pretty reasonable. And he said, and you have to do that all without saying a single word to them. Not a, I'm not going to speak to you, not like, hi, my name is so-and-so. You don't introduce yourself. You do whatever it is that you want, but you do it entirely with your body language. And so I said, well, how does that, you know, like, that seems like an utter failure. Everybody's going to say no. And so he's like, give it a shot. So I went out the next day and I tried it, and I just walked up to people, and like the first lady kind of like looked at me all weird and walked away because I like ran up to her and pointing at my camera.
Like all awkward, like. Yeah.
And then he was with me, so he's like, just relax. Just, you know, if you were to walk up to somebody and say you look good, what would your body language be like? He's like, you know, tell me I look good. I'm like, you look good. And he's like, see, your arms came up and you smiled a little bit. So, like, now just do that without saying a thing. So I tried it again, and 10 in a row, people were like, totally fine. Oh, you want to do my picture? Like, and they would be like, okay. And I'd point at my camera, and they'd be like, okay. And then I would, like, tell them, he's like, you have to pose them. So I like moved them over here to get the composition just right. And nobody said no. And I realized, you know, all of that at the end, he's like, would it have mattered that you would have told them that they have a pretty hat? He's like, you can say that if that makes you feel more comfortable. But ultimately, if you're a weirdo, they're going to say no to you. Or if they were going to say no, they're going to say no regardless of what. There's nothing you could say to them, be like, hi, I'm with, you know, Time Life magazine. Can I take your portrait? So it's kind of an interesting way to do it is be the person that you are and let that shine through, and people will be open to that.
Yeah, that's a great idea and a great way to get people comfortable, and they'll probably come home at night and say, this like hilarious mute guy just tried to take my photo today.
Right. Yeah. Right. Didn't say a word to me.
Yeah. It's on that body language is very important. You have to feel like you belong, act like you belong, and people will notice you less and care about it less. If you feel uncomfortable and you're being really sneaky. Like, I'm pretty quick and candid. People don't notice me, but that often. But I also am confident about standing in the middle of the street and acting like I belong there.
Right.
And it's the if you stand in the middle, people think you belong there. If you're
right
on the corner, kind of like feeling really uncomfortable, they're
going
to notice
you. You wear the hoodie. If you dress like a poker player, like at the WPT or something, with the sunglasses and a hoodie,
yeah,
then they're going to feel a little uncomfortable about
you. Then
they
think you're a pedophile, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
What about, have you done anything with, somebody told me about this recently and I have not researched it, cameras that will have like a flip LCD holding it low and looking down, because then they say there's a huge difference between having that camera at your eye versus down at your waist when you're looking at it, and it's much less intimidating.
A lot of people do that, and it's a great way to shoot. I say go for it. I try to get people when they can to look through the viewfinder, because I find some of the moments that are amazing are so quick. They just like that. Like, you're going to have this look in someone's face that's really powerful, and it goes in an instant. And so sometimes this is great, but I always try to get people to get good at composing and comfortable, because I don't want it to be too much of a crutch. And then in the times where you have to do it that way, you know, go for it. Like, I'll shoot from low sometimes. I shoot a lot. I'll zone focus. So it's like, I'll pick a pre-focus distance, you know, 8 to 10 feet. So I know the whole area is in focus with a decent depth of field. And I'll shoot from a little bit below my face So I still, my eyes are still the viewfinder, but it's still candid. And so I'll go back and forth and I'll try all the time to shoot from the eye when I can. And then a lot of times it's just quick or you just want to be a little bit more candid. So I'll shoot a little bit below. But I always tell when it's possible, you want to try to force yourself to shoot from the viewfinder because it's a really good practice. But that is a great way to do it as well.
What focal lengths are we talking about on the street? Are we shooting wide, tight, or is it can be anything I want to?
It can be anything. I love 35 and 50. That's kind of the two, those are the two standard for the most, what most street photographers like. Mm-hmm. But there are many who do with zooms and things. I just like the wide angle because you can, it's easier to get people, like the people are more prominent in relationship to the background. So they look larger, you can see them better, and you can still get in a lot of background. And you can also get many subjects. So it adds context. You can create relationships. You can do a lot. So that's why I like 35 and 50 is a little bit less. But I know a lot of, there are a bunch of photographers who do amazing work with zoom. So
yeah. In fact, Fuji just has like the little camera that came out. It's a, I think it's a fixed 28.
Yep.
And that's it. You can, I think you could put on an adapter to change it a little bit, but that's it. You're shooting at 28 and 28 alone.
That's
there's
it. Yeah.
There's nothing on there. So I was like, okay. And you can't change lenses either.
Yeah.
So that is your lens of choice. So it's very interesting. It's one of those things in street photography that I always say like, yeah, maybe in a week or two when I have a day off, I'm going to go out and do it. And then I don't end up doing it. I've done it a couple times in the past and then, you know, there's a little bit of a rush to it too that I found that, you know, you get somebody that sees you and it leads to a lot of conversation. Sometimes you hand the person your business card at the end of it. What do you get out of it?
I feel that, I'm trying to create a body of work in New York that has, you know, New York is where I feel most comfortable. Like it's just, I feel like I know the city well, so I can kind of diagnose the city and show a side of it that you don't normally see through the people and some backgrounds and things that fit in and the sensibility. So it's, I feel like I'm telling a story based on what modern New York is like in certain areas and you're covering different ideas and things. And so it's, you're building up, it's kind of like writing a poem, it's any type of art form over time, you kind of push this story. And it takes time to develop. It takes time to find images that fit together. And you can do many. You can have many different types of images that have different feelings, and you can put them all together into kind of a story. Yeah. So it's like any art form. At first, you don't realize it because it's just like, how can we tell these stories with individual shots of people? But I recommend for anyone to pick up some of the great photo books of street photographers. You know, The Americans is one. Mm-hmm. Pick up a Martin Parr photo book, and he has so many different varieties, and it'll show you what's possible to do with like big groups of these images.
Yeah. And speaking of New York, you are going to be there for the Out of New York conference as well. Mm-hmm. And so your class at the Out of Chicago went pretty well. This was the first time that you had spoken about the famous street photographer. Mm-hmm. So you're probably going to be talking about that again.
Yeah, I hope so, because this is the first, I was a little nervous to make sure it was all in time and I didn't forget anything, but I'm going to hopefully teach that a few times if I can.
That's very cool. I wish I got a chance to sit on it, but I'll just have you go over your entire presentation for us. As soon as we're done.
Yes, definitely. That's podcast two will be an hour late.
We'll cover it. Either that, or I guess I could come out to New York and sit in on that one as well.
Yes, definitely.
There we go. Tell me about your New York. What places do you enjoy shooting out there?
So I'm attracted to certain areas. There are amazing areas throughout the city. You know, Midtown is fantastic. It's always amazing. There's always great stuff. I prefer kind of certain downtown areas. Mm-hmm. I shoot in Soho, which has a mixture of, it's kind of the trendiest area of the city. So you can really photograph ideas of consumption, trendy people, that type whole mentality, mixed with all of the backgrounds of these, amazing like high-end clothing stores that you can kind of create these interesting things and great architecture. And then I also,
and the fashion and everything like that is there. I mean, I guess that goes with the trendiness.
Definitely, yeah.
Who's the guy? I think that's New York. There's a photographer and he has the fashion photo blog. He just shoots on fashion on the street and he'll stop interesting people.
The Strobus.
I don't know.
No, sorry, not the Strobus. No, Strobus Scott. What the hell is it called?
Older gentleman.
Sartorialist. Bill Cunningham.
That could be him. That's
actually
familiar.
On that note, Bill Cunningham just died.
No.
Today, literally.
Today?
Yeah, just now.
Just now?
He had a stroke like a few days ago. So that's
oh, wow.
Crazy. So yeah, it's I've seen him on the streets a few times. Yeah, he parked himself on Fifth Avenue. He would go down to Soho.
Yeah.
He would,
yeah.
You'd see him all over, you know, this 87-year-old guy. 80s.
Right.
And it was amazing how just much he did at that age. Like, it was incredible.
Oh,
was
he
amazing.
Did a ton. I saw him first in some fashion documentary, and then I checked out his org. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's just shooting. And it's amazing at how many actual people, if you just stop and look at a crowd, that you can pick out the people and make amazing portraits. And he was doing that. So
yeah, and man, he picking out trends, you know, before the fashion, you know, it was like, he was as important to fashion as.
Yeah, no, he had a following. I mean, here's this guy who you figure is just taking photos on the street, but people sought out what it was that he was capturing and then would play off of that. And so,
yeah.
Oh man, that's a bummer.
I know,
to hear.
It's a bummer. I got out of my class. And my wife sent me a text and with the New York Times article. So yeah.
Oh wow. Wow.
Yeah, terrible.
Well, there's a serendipitous
serendipitous and yeah, sorry for the bummer.
No, and on that note, thanks for joining us. No, so you're gonna be you taught it out of Chicago, you're gonna be teaching it at out of New York. And I, you know, if I can make it out there, I'm definitely going to give that a shot. Let's say our listeners want to find out more about you and kind of stalk you.
Yeah.
What can they do to find out or find out you workshops as well?
Definitely. Yeah. So if you just go straight to my website, James Maher photography.com. And I do a lot of, you know, I'll do an occasional big workshop of many people, but I do a lot of individuals or very small groups because I really find it, especially for my introvert, I find it fun to teach to very small groups because it's I can focus a little bit on each person's you know, how they're at. So I do those. I do a lot of those. If anyone's in New York, definitely look me up.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be on this podcast. And I think the program, I hope that it rocks in out of New York. That's coming up pretty soon. And looking forward to it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I think New York will be awesome as all. You know, it's a fun place to be.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks again.
Yeah, have a good one.